Bruce.
Oh, and Andy.
And Andy. Andy's here.
He's here. That's
right here.
Oh, he was? So quiet. And Clem.
Well, he's visible too. I still can't see him.
Dale and Bruce, though.
He must be under the table. But the feathers crawled right under the table.
He hurt my 171.
Yeah. Yep.
He's looking at the wall now, though.
Yeah.
Forget the table. What direction is this?
Well, there's just some, there's a couple of those legislators.
In the parking lot?
They
come
to the left.
Yep.
We wouldn't have to help.
Right.
The far. How about far?
What direction are they coming from? They, I say go
left. They're
Piper, can it be the far end of the parking lot?
By the ball field. That's what they told me. They were left the parking lot by the ball field.
I can see the ball field.
I think it's west.
I thought I was driving east and I was driving south. So. Sorry, there wasn't any diet left.
Oh, there isn't? We have 10 liters. Sorry.
I would just
demonstrate. There was nothing diet left in the fridge, and I didn't get any cold.
Oh, sorry.
There's water. Water doesn't have any calories. Give it to your horse.
Well, I think we may do the first couple up there.
What about this one?
Yeah. Anybody want to discuss the minutes? Anybody want to make a motion about the minutes? Should we do the whole consent calendar one?
So, can we just do the whole consent calendar?
Yeah, let's do that.
And I'll make a motion that we approve the consent calendar as presented.
Motion and a second. Is there any further discussion about the consent calendar? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to our discussion items.
That was fast.
Superintendent Lamborn has to get back from autonomy.
Legislative.
Oh, oh, first. Oh,
hold,
first.
Wait, hold the phone. Dang it. Superintendent Woodford, happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you.
He's
saying birthdays just keep coming sooner and sooner every year.
This little boy, happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'll save you the rest of it. It's an old family. All right, we got a full day today. We're going to leave here and go home to the shores of Lake Wabanobi. And have the ribeye rendezvous. Time we're supposed to be out there, Piper. Do you need us to help you?
6 o'clock.
We need to come at 5 and you have to get all set up?
No, I think we'll be okay. We'll be all right.
Okay, Becca's coming out to help out.
Yeah.
Thanks, Becca.
My pleasure.
Are you on comedic relief this year?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I've got some jokes for you.
Good.
Because you are a master of ceremonies.
I am?
Back. Yes.
Okay, good. Good food, good meat, good hell, let's eat.
Perfect.
I've got to remember that one. That'll be my opening part.
It was really, I thought, very successful last year. We had a good turnout. I mean, I'm not sure what the turnout's looking like today. But
yeah, it's hard to tell.
A couple have dropped off, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, we'll make it great. Even if it's only one or two, it'll be good.
Do you have any idea which legislator will be there today?
No. I only heard regrets. And the bummer is the regrets I heard were the first two to say, I'll be there, looking forward to it. And that was Chu and Berkland. And then they both had traveled.
I noticed that, sorry, I lost my voice, that Chu and Berkland are listed as Daggett's representatives. Is that true?
Well, Chu would be, right?
Well, it was Berkland, and I think it's now Chu. Are we split? Are we divided in any way?
Do your people vote for either of them? That's the question, I guess. Anybody in your school district vote for those two?
Well, Chu would be new. In the past, it's been Berkland. We voted for Berkland.
They changed the boundaries. Your boundary change.
I thought Berkland got moved out.
It's complicated. Like in Heber, we have 3 senators. They've got us gerrymandered so much that Wasatch County doesn't only have the senator, we have 3 of them. All right. So I don't know. I think you could have multiple, and some we could. I think it's a pretty gray area as to who. It just all depends on what the boundary line is.
Let's do some more research on that.
Split two.
And with 1,400 people, I mean, how do you split?
Right.
That's John and Manila. Chu gets Manila, or gets that's John and Berkland gets Manila.
If there's any constituents in Daggett School District that votes for any of those people, then you would claim them as one of your local representatives. I don't know. Yeah, it very well could be split.
I could reach out to both and see who will claim you.
Well, you could just look at the boundary and say it's on the legislative website. So, the closest thing we have to a senator is Senator Winterton. He represents most of Wasatch County, but he also represents all of South Summit, all of Uinta.
I like saying Winterton. Anyways, I'll figure it out. Because I would really like, Berkman's been to our district. Chu and Winterton, neither have of them have been. They'll come for a commission meeting, but then they won't interact with the school district. I'll try to get them to do that. I'm thinking about legislator in the classroom today might be a way to get them to come. But of course, if it's Chu, well then isn't he doing like Vernal and Duchesne and...
So you're kind of wondering if we should assign that out because it's the same day? Is that what you're asking for?
I just don't know who to contact to buy them.
Yeah, the whole legislator in the classroom thing, who's... Do you guys know who's supposed to organize all that?
I thought USBA was?
Isn't that a brand new thing?
It is, but, Robin McClellan sent something out.
Bring up a good point. They share I bet most every one of them represent multiple districts.
Right.
So who's supposed to go where? It's a good
question. Or is it just an open invitation, and are they even going to come? I don't even know.
Remind us what day that is first.
Say again.
What day? I can't remember.
What day is legislator in the classroom?
I got it.
September 27th.
I sent an email to our three legislators just to invite them if they wanted to upgrade the phones. It's a week, so it's anywhere within the week. September 23rd, 27th.
That makes it so you can invite them all and adjust days for them.
Yeah, 23rd through 27th.
Because I've never sent an email out to you.
I haven't heard a reply.
I keep wondering if it's just somebody else that's organized it, but
I don't think anybody's organized it. I think it's just up to us to invite our representatives that we want to invite and schedule a day for them to come to the district. I don't think it's worth anybody's time to try and map it out on a spreadsheet. If you pick up at Winterton for a Tuesday and I call him and he says I'm already going there, then I'll see if I can meet him Thursday.
Right. Okay.
All right, moving on. USBE News AI Summit at UVU Wasatch on September 18th.
There are still a couple spots left. Last I checked, we had about 80 registered, and they can train up to 100 is what they have capacity for. So
you can go ahead and just walk through the discussion items.
Yeah. So there's a link here. If you have leaders who have not yet signed up, certainly do make sure your tech people are there. This is a statewide effort, and we're just one of several of the sites, but for a lot of you, the closest one. A reminder about our ESL endorsement and the actual flyer with links to follow up. And that will start October 16th. We have that in place with SUU. And again, for your educators, it will just be the SUU course feed. And they will be able to complete the 5-course endorsement before the end of the summer, which is, again, a huge boon. If either you're an LEA who needs more people with ESL endorsements and or people are looking for master's level credits, certainly will build expertise in your area. We are starting a new RBT fall cohort. This is our third cohort in the past year. Because we have had such big response, thank you for that. Your SPED directors have been critical with that effort as well. And as a reminder, the effort is to build boots on the ground capacity because there is such a BCBA shortage. If our BCBA can be providing consults and supervising RBTs at the LDA level, which they presently do in Wasatch District, in South Summit District, North Summit District, that's really, we don't have enough BCBAs to hire. And I hear from you that you face the same struggle of just finding people. But we can help train your RBTs. These can be certified teachers or classified paras. And again, in an effort to grow your own, which I feel like Utah is doing really well, we can follow them through and provide them supervision and access all the way up if you want to grow your own BCBAs. We'd be thrilled to support you with that effort. But RBT is where that all starts. I will add too, I have one last year on a news Grow Your Own grant. We are giving a portion of it to Duchesne. I've been working with Phil Jason on that for a Grow Your Own counselor. But I have funds that I'll be returning this year if you have a Grow Your Own opportunity. Up to $14,000 reimbursement of college coursework, and it expires June 30th. So please reach out to me if you want to explore that. You have two. Wonderful. Okay. Let's do it. Open meetings training. That is linked there. My suspicion is that you've all participated in that with your own boards. But if you have not, please do that, right? Your face looks like what?
Oh, no, we're done.
You're done.
My face looks like that.
Oh. If you will.
We've systematized that it has to be done in the month of January.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And so we just can recycle.
All right. Well, if you will, for the benefit of news, if you will also just make sure that you are familiar with that information.
Can you just send a confirmation email that we've done it, or a certificate?
Do you have to answer to anybody?
I don't think I report to anybody on that.
I think we're good.
I think they'll like that it's in the agenda.
Yeah, we can yeah. We've listed it. Sure. Something we all have to do with our boards, and I don't think it's necessary to do anything else.
We talked a few meetings ago about policy revision. Thank you, Greg, for volunteering yourself.
For what?
I think we have policy revision.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to put Paul delegate. You're okay with that? Okay.
I would like to be on that.
That would be wonderful, Brittany. Thank you.
So I can stay on that one. Thank you.
Okay. Perfect. That might even just be enough for us to move forward. Okay. Thank you. And as a reminder, we'll just be revising personnel policy to align with our practices, with past and current, and to align with our new mission. All right. Okay. The rest is you, Superintendent.
Legislative updates. Anybody want to give us a legislative update? We just had one from... from Rich. I think we're probably in good shape there. Anybody want to add to that discussion?
I told him 20 new laws this year. That's it. Cut it off.
Fillmore's got 30 bill files open.
Yeah, we're going to cut it off 20.
Fillmore wants to be the
state
chair of the state school board from his seat in the legislature. He wants to run the whole damn show. I don't even need us pretty soon. You just come out and take care of it.
Can I ask? I'm kind of curious your concerns, if you have any, or maybe you feel favorably towards USB's proposal of a statewide SIS where they are also funding that.
I don't.
Go ahead, Greg.
Well, I was just going to say, if it's going to be a statewide system, it's probably going to be in Power School because there's so many large districts in the state that you have a major investment in it. I mean, that's probably what's going to happen. So we don't use Power School, we use a Spider, but.
I don't think that's what they're thinking. But obviously, the state wants a statewide system. They keep bringing it up, and remember in St. George a year ago when Rick gave him about 20 minutes, the most animated I've ever seen him in a superintendent's meeting, about 20 minutes. I don't know what the right word is, but he wasn't about to, he didn't like it. And I don't blame him. I don't know, but it seems like one of those things that's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to just keep after it until... I'll tell you what will happen is somebody will open a bill file on it. That's what mm-hmm. I mean.
Well, they're doing the business case. And I don't know why they're not being more transparent about it, but when they met with RESA directors maybe 6 months ago, and Aspire is going away. It's so antiquated, they cannot keep it up. Like, we have to move everybody to something. And so we'll take the onus. We'll foot the bill for it. So we can't keep Aspire going.
We use the word Aspire for a lot of things. You talk about the one that Wasatch is on and about six other districts. They've been telling us that very thing for 10 years.
I know, but I feel like this time they need.
For 10 years, they've called us in and said, we are done.
So,
and if they are, then we'll do an RFP and we'll get something else.
But so 2 years
that's
ago,
a little different conversation than them saying we're going to go to a statewide system.
Well, so that's one impetus for sure. And then the other one seems to be that they have state legislatures asking consistently for, hey, how many this, what this? And they have no way to access that data without serving you guys and asking for another report from you.
Right. Well, I was on that task force, you know, the reporting and requirements task force, and it gave me a nice little forum for, I don't know how many meetings we had with state board members and legislators on the committee, and I just hammered them meeting after meeting on this idea that don't ask us for data you already have. If you have data, don't ask us to write a report. Make an algorithm and pull the data. And so then we got into the discussion of Aspire, and they had in place a two-year standing. This is about a year and a half ago, right? For 2 years, they had committed to spend no money on Aspire. They had pulled all their programmers off of Aspire, and they put them on this, what's it called, the USIMS, USIMS program for programming. And so they were committing no new resources to Aspire. And, you know, that's frustrating because there's some things we need to have changed in Aspire. And I said, oh, wait a minute. You guys, so we have a state system that we're, you know, that you guys are paying for, but we're not updating and maintaining it. That's right, we're not. And I said, that's just unacceptable. I said, either get rid of it or start fixing it and managing it one way, you know, and I got enough support there that within a month or two after we had that discussion, they made the decision to start putting resources back into Aspire, and so they committed some programmers to it. But
how long ago was this?
Oh, a year and a half ago or so. And so anyway, then the conversation evolved to, oh, we should probably be better automated, but not all districts are on Aspire. Most aren't now, right? Okay. So that was the conversation: is how can we automate unless we have a statewide SIS system?
Right.
So it's partly my fault because I hit them hard about this automation.
Yeah, they're choosing your other option, but at least they're willing to try to get money for it. I have to say, I feel like if we don't. This could be another situation that we keep going no, 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 and don't say, yeah, if you pay for it, right? So we don't control the narrative. But if we just say no to it, well, then we're going to be left trying to figure it out and fund it.
And personally, I'm okay with it. The other thing they can do is they can just require us to have a SIP certified system. So they can do a SIP interface. Regardless of, like, you have six different programs out there across the state, you can have a SIP interface, and they can still gather the data. So that's another option for this.
My prediction is they'll have friendly legislators run a bill on it in this session or next, and we'll have a statewide system.
Right.
But it will be a big, hairy, you know, 2 year. It'll be 2-3 years before they figure it out. But I think that's where they're headed. It feels like one of those things that's coming no matter what we say. And maybe so. You know, if you remember, Sid took a long time to stand up and make the argument for it.
Right.
And I think she was very surprised when Rick Nelson came out.
Yeah.
He obviously had some PTSD from
He just went into the classroom, didn't he? Like,
yeah.
A couple of years. His words were upheaval.
And I, you know, you hear that all around. I don't think it matters who or where. Do a new one of those, and I think he just wasn't ready to do it again.
Well, and you know, we need to make a change in UNF because Aspire really, in my opinion, it, we can do better. But I don't want to be the guy to do that. I want this. you got to do that.
We hired the programmer out of Auburn. Mm-hmm. He lives in Hebron now. He works for us, and I sent him to him another lady out to Dale quite a bit. Have those guys on his lady retired. And I'm willing to share him a little bit if people need somebody to help on the back end, just to get us through. But I think it's a daily thing.
I think we're okay. But as we talk about things like standards and things of that nature, there's some real limitations.
All right. Anything else on that subject?
I am going to try to push a little bit of an agenda with Winterton and Berkeley. On, you know, we talked about this a little bit one or two meetings ago about, you know, what has to be reported to UPAC, what doesn't have to when it's brought up about an employee. And I about lost one of the best employees in our district. And thankfully, the parent ended up saying, no, I'm not going to do a complaint. But what determined, they were trying to negotiate a lesser disciplinary action for their kid. And that was the what they were trying to linchpin it on is, well, if my kid gets left, if they get a smaller discipline, then I'm not going to complain about this person. Man. And it was so dirty, yeah, that had they said yes, I mean, I was ready to do the full investigation, and everything else, but it's an unintended consequence, like we talked about before, that this would happen. And to me, it was so blatantly inappropriate that I want the legislators to hear the extreme example of why that was a bad bill, why that was a bad law to be passed, to take away the ability for us to do our job at the local level in investigating and verifying or validating, the allegations. So I don't know if anyone else has had experiences like that, but it seems like shortly after we brought up in this meeting, apparently I was the one that got jinxed with it. So if any of you have dealt with it and want to be part of that conversation, let me know. Otherwise, I'll just move forward myself. But
that's a good story to tell, though. It seems like that's more powerful on the legislator's mind than about anything else you could do.
Well, we keep talking about, they keep saying that we need to support our teachers, and I don't, none of the transparency stuff really feels like it supports them, but that's one that, literally, it would have been bad for kids for us to lose that person. And all because, someone wanted to negotiate their kids' discipline.
Yeah. And there's a lot of teachers that just, their skin's not as thick as maybe the people in this room, right?
Right.
And they're not going to, there's a good chance you'll lose some good people.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything over there today about school fees. That seems to be brought up every year. Stop short of funding it. So.
Yeah, it's kind of simmered because our funding,
demand, I guess, whatever we call it. But I haven't heard anything. They made nothing, no noise about fees this year.
And 3 years ago, it sounded like that was a slam dunk. That was going to happen.
I haven't heard anything. Who else had the legislative audit so far? I'm not sure.
Just Dale.
Dale and Jill?
Oh, and Jill, yeah.
Wait, Cody put a pretty good face on it today. That surprised me a little bit. I didn't know we were getting that positive about it. Because everything I hear is just 180 from that. They sit in your district for 6 months. They want to talk to all of your detractors. I mean, I think Jill Gilday's her board members and her community members that are going after her are using that audit to go after her.
Well, I know when I got phone calls about Rich, I got them for Salt Lake and others, but when I got it for Rich, it felt targeted, like they were digging for something specifically aimed at making Rich look poor.
I'm glad you spoke up in there about that. That's good.
I understand why they have to call and try to get some background. They're trying to build their capacity to get feedback, and I get that, but you know, they call and they want to know about our instructional coaching program.
Yeah, they know nothing about Norman. She got auditors are usually new kids out of school.
Right. I mean they don't
and they don't understand the social norms of being professional and not sharing information, and if they're not trained well, they're not really something to know.
Well, I probably just had to say, listen, you have to understand that Uinta and Rich are completely different, right? I mean, the size of the school district's different, the ability to recruit and retain staff is different. You can't really compare us, you know?
Yeah. Well, then they were asking me, I mean, I was asked, you know, kind of what does the research say is the right way to do it? And first of all, I said, well, why don't you go look at the research? Second of all, you can find research to say just about anything you want. But ultimately, what needs to happen is Rich needs to be able to use instructional coaches the way they need to use instructional coaches.
Seems really will look different.
Seems really odd to me that they call them districts.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of different. That attorney called me with those things you've done, Greg. I just...
That wasn't an attorney, that was my parole officer.
Oh,
remember, I'm just finishing up.
I didn't say a word.
I'm just finishing up the parolee to principal program, and
even though I was there, I said I had no knowledge of it. So. We're good. We're still friends.
So it's on your land, so.
We're testing Becca to see if she knows what
starts 5 minutes.
I appreciate the use of Rick's heavy machinery skills.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Really made the job quick.
Hey, we better not be on.
You stutter. Yeah. Dale sometimes has things to report. He's our representative there. I will just mention that other RESA board members have been making more of an appearance at RESA meetings. So I want to encourage you, if I know how busy you all are, but if you ever are able to jump on RESA board meeting, I think sometimes they don't get to hear perspective from our region, and it would be helpful. And then we are still putting together a planning meeting, and I think I probably definitely need suggestions of how to best populate this. So if I'm ideally wanting to gather from municipalities and school districts to help plan this, do you want me to start with curriculum directors? And do you have any advice of where to get input from GLEA?
For the RESA conference?
Mm-hmm.
For the conference?
Mm-hmm.
I talked to my staff about it a little bit the other day. I want to be able to help myself. I just hesitate to do anything extra because I can't keep up with what I've already got.
I get
it. They felt the same way. I didn't have much traction with my group. I could assign one to go help with that for sure, but they just were running so much all the time. It seems like it's hard to pull off to do one more thing. So we need to help you with that. That's a big task. So.
Well.
You could contact Christy Nurden from our school district. She'd be a. She provides some useful information, I think. It's with a Y. N-E-R-D-E-N-I-N, sorry. N-E-N. She's our secondary director of
Trisha.
Sure.
Yeah.
Same format. I would just say, you know, after being a part of that, I mean, really, seems like I've been on other committees or on others for a very long time, but there's one thing you have to give Utah High School Activities credit for is they try really hard. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed in other states, they don't try near that hard. They make some cutoffs and say, this is, goes there, and they just let that run for a while. And I think I've shared, maybe not with this group, but my home high school, with my place up in Idaho, they're in a region of three teams. And it's because that it's a hard and fast rule. And as schools kind of grow and some subside, and they just have to go by that number, and that number is everything. And if you end up with two or three schools in a region, that's just how it is. We try a lot harder than that. We spend a lot of time on it.
Works out good for those Western Wyoming schools, though, because they get a lot of good games with those teams.
Yeah, but they do. So at least we give it the old college try. We try and get it as right as we can, and I think we're thinking outside the box a lot, and we're trying to. We want every high school in the state to have a good experience somehow or another. But I do think it's trending more and more towards, you know, the whole RPI thing and trying matching schools up more by competition level than numbers or regions. And that's the thing that's a good thing, and it feels good. And when Leighton Christian came in and they'd been winning the 2A state basketball championship by, you know, 40 points or whatever, I'm just making that up, but I know they were very dominant. Asked to go up, there were a bunch of 2A people around the table that were pretty excited about it and voted for them to go up. And it did set a precedent that day that we're going to let schools go up by sport. Not only, that was, I think, one of the first times, and then because they're so dominant, wherever they might be, we're going to let them go up, and it's pushing us more to RPI. At the same time, we're gonna give up on the other end of that. To me, the what I think is a downside, and I'm okay to have to live with it, but I'm a traditionalist, and I like sticking with our traditions when it makes sense. But it's gonna eventually break apart the whole region concept. That region concept will go away at some point. The more that we trend towards RPI and the old traditions and the rivalries, and that'll all just have to be kind of accounted for in other scheduling. And I think what other states have done, as I've looked at it, is where that eventually leads you to is a state scheduler.
Well, it has to.
A guy that sits at the State High School Activities Association, and his job is to schedule all the games. And so I just think we have to go about, it feels good to us maybe to keep the competition more level, but at the same time, it's going to end up in
breaking some of our old traditions and rivalries.
It also creates almost a natural relegation system, because if you get your butt spanked at the 6A level enough years, you're probably going to go down and play, you know, at
right.
that lesser level.
Right, that's exactly what will happen. And it won't even be all that many years. It will be bread. That's, you know, the one thing that there's a whole lot of kind of pitfalls and missteps, and like, again, we just do the best we can. We just work out, we put the time in, we do the best we can, but I think for some of the smaller schools, you can have a really good class go through, and that bumps your RPI up, and then this poor sophomore class that's pretty weak, they have to take the brunt of that because they just got moved up because of the grade class that's two or three years ahead of them. So maybe there's somehow that can be a little bit. Anyway, that's all I've got.
I don't know if this is maybe the spot, just as you said that, something that came up to me in track and cross country. I've been curious why they don't use more of an RPI like they do the rest of sports.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see the issues why we have the RPI rear their head there quite a bit, especially in our smaller schools. So you'll have kids from some of the regions that are a long ways behind that would never have been able to qualify. They'll be in some regions, kids they're kids that are being left out of the state competition that would have been first place in some of the other regions and would have absolutely been in the state competition. And very, very simple. They know every time on every kid, every race.
Do we have a qualifying time for...
There's a time, and then there's also region placing.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So you think the qualifying time...
I'm not aware of the qualifying time.
There's a qualifying time. Not there's a you can qualify for state, but there's not a minimum.
There's qualifying times.
There's qualifying times.
You can qualify by time or by place
or
in that region. There isn't a time that says you have to be able to run an 8-minute mile at least.
No, I mean on the other end. If it's a 10-second 100 and you hit it. Make that time,
yes,
so they do get to go to state based on that.
Yes. So that exists, but then there's the kid, so they're getting fifth, sixth, seventh place in their region. They don't get to go to state, but they would have won in the other region. They'd be first place.
Well, but think about this. In track and field and even in wrestling, this whole concept of RPI just can't work. It just can't. I mean, your small school kids would, once they get bumped up, they might compete at the 2A level just fine. But if you go to state track meet, there's a direct correlation between the times and the classifications.
There usually is.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about changing classification. I'm talking about within the same classification,
mm-hmm.
different regions. So you got a kid in region, pick one, 17, I don't know the number. In region 17, in 1A, and they get fifth place in their 100 meter, so they don't get to go state. But had they been in region 18, they would have been the region champ, but they absolutely get to go to state.
I thought that's where those qualifier times fix that.
No, the qualifying time is just you can run whatever time you, if you get this certain time, you're in the state no matter what.
Well, that's what he's saying, though.
But it's really hard to get there.
If you're good enough to get that time, then
that's
the second way to get in.
But those are hard times to get to.
If
they're top kids, they're already going to make it anyway. Those are the kids who get it.
Jason, if there's something you want me to bring up, will you send me an email? Summarize that in an email.
I haven't really thought about it too much until you're thinking about it here, but I'm seeing that year in, year out, especially in our smaller schools.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well, they know the time of every kid ever in the state. You know exactly where they're at. Why not
take everybody's time in that? Part of that might be there's going to be some variability on this side. One side's going to have a full-on, automatic timing system, and somebody else is going to have some grandma and moms out there punching the clock.
But you see those, though. You've got, I'll bet those kids.
All right, okay, thank you. That's not my
mistake.
Those guys would be worse for sure.
But I'll bet grandpa's. Every kid in the state has run 7 or 8 times on a, you know, a state qualifying meet where they've got times. They have a body of work there, 7 or 8 at least times.
Yeah. So,
anyway, I thought that was curious how.
Yeah, send that to me.
One into it particularly. That's
I'll bring it up. Okay, that's all I got for high school activities. I don't know what else we got there.
On to round table.
Round table discussion.
So this is back to the activities thing real quick.
Okay.
I 2 years ago I had to fight pretty hard to get a Central Utah, Central Wasatch 4A region, right? Because okay. Our choice was to travel to St. George, to Cache Valley, which, you know, 5-6 hours, or to go 5A, because there wasn't a 4A. Or do you know if they're still going to maintain a 4A region?
Is that true? I think it's too early to say. I don't think we know anything yet until we start through the process.
Yeah. That's just my one thing there, Paul.
I don't think anybody's really looked at it that close. But yeah. if you have a specific concern.
Well, it's just to you know, exactly. If you remember, they only had 14 teams in 4A and they had 34 teams in 5A.
Right.
It didn't make any sense, and so I made the case with the activities board that that they needed to balance those out. They were so worried about natural cuts in the data that they left that. I mean, 14 kids competing for a state, 14 teams.
Okay, we rectified that last time.
Right? Yeah. I just hope that
I don't think that'll ever happen again. I think that was such an egregious error.
Right.
That I don't think it'll ever happen again.
Okay.
And what they say is that they had written the rules so that it boxed them in, and they changed the rules. But
yeah.
That was maybe the year before.
But you know, sometimes
on the board.
Sometimes we have a short memory, unfortunately. So that's it. I mean, for us, it was a.
No, we were wondering the same thing. We were wondering the same thing in our district. Why they would ever let a classification for teams stand?
Right.
It was a mistake.
Shouldn't make any sense. Okay, that's a round table.
Any other roundtable items? What you got, Bruce?
Well, so I've had Tabiola contact me and say, well, can you guys talk about it at the superintendent level? And this issue of changing the basketball structure in 1A, that doesn't apply to everyone sitting at this table, but so that there is the first round of state, 16 teams qualify for the first round of state at home sites, and the winners advance to the region or to the state site. Boys and girls playing at the same site.
Eight teams.
Eight teams. Did I say that wrong?
No, 16 at home.
Yeah. The winners advance, right? So it's going to be 8. And
so just like the 2A.
Yeah. And so part of that is they want to, I guess, move around the state more. Is that the only issue that's motivating this?
I don't know for sure, but I think there's any talk about that at the state level, moving the
where the venue is
basketball terms. So both the venue and the number of teams that go to the state venue. So right now they do 16 team double elimination. Some are pushing for it to go more like the 2A, which is only 8 teams.
So the first round is just playing out at home sites.
So really, your best bet with that is to talk to Jerry about it.
See where that
was. Jerry's your 1A, 2A rep, or yep. Superintendent. He's also the chairman of the board. And to understand the old traditions of why 1A and 2A, that's going to be your best bet is talk to Jerry.
So double elimination right now, you can lose and still win a state title?
No, it's not a true double factor like they would
consolation.
Gotcha.
It's a cover consolation.
That's how they've done in Utah for year and year.
Won't they still do a consolation in the 18 format?
Yeah, but it would be just with 8, not with all 16.
Right. Gotcha, I see. So one of the teams that loses in the first round, home round, wouldn't have a chance to come back for the consolation.
And so basically, instead of a 4-day state tournament, it would go down to 3.
Man, I would like that. If I were you guys, that's what I would want to do.
Yeah.
Do you feel like too many teams are going there just to get beaten and sent home? Or?
No, I'm not pushing this at all. There's a group who's pushing this, and part of, I think, the motivation is, you know, 1A has sort of been locked into going to Richfield every year. And for the last, I don't know, what, 10 years we've gone to Richfield? How many years has it been since it used to rotate. We used to be somewhere in the south.
I remember when it used to go south and north, yeah. I'm happy to bring it up. The guy that can help you change that best is Jerry.
And I'm not promoting a change. I'm promoting, I'm saying, I've been asked to help facilitate the dialogue. I don't know I don't know what entity is pushing this. I don't know why they're pushing for it, other than we need to get out of Richfield. Seems like Richfield's the only place that can host this.
The thing I hear about Richfield is the gouging of prices in hotels.
Now, as high as $400 a night.
It's horrible.
They can jack them up.
I heard that come up in a meeting, so I think they're aware of that.
It is atrocious.
All you got to do is threaten to pull it out.
That's
probably what they're doing. Yep. Yeah. Well, maybe that has to happen.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Somebody told me they tried to get one last year, and it was $800 for a room for a night.
It's crazy.
Anyway, we'll talk to Jerry.
Just for the sake of, you know, I don't know, kids, 4 days missing. At least
so,
2 days of school.
So you play in the early morning on Wednesday. You're leaving Tuesday.
Yeah. So you miss Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I just know there's a big push to get Morgan into 5A football. Or it was a 6A in football. You getting any credit from that team? Sounds like they're doing great.
Yeah. You can have all the sports if you want.
I thought you were maybe out there calling some plays.
No, not me.
Yeah, we hear about that every year.
Any other roundtable discussion?
So, do you have the attendance on it?
I know I'm.
They're asking questions like, we want a copy of every student's, they call it a CCR, which is no longer a valid term. What? First off, it's a 6-page document. Second off, it's got confidential information on it. Second off, what does that got to do with attendance?
Well, if it's that big of a page document for you, you think about when you go to Alpine School.
Yeah, just wait to go to Alpine.
Maybe they just thought they could get away with that.
This really quick because this is new. You might not be aware of this, but I would guess that your HR departments are. Art history, which is required for all art endorsements, K-12, is a really hard course to find in Utah.
and access. And so we are working with USBE. I've actually already done the application and got it approved, because you can use USBE credit for endorsement coursework. And so I have it approved through Midas, and we'll roll that out in January. And the prediction is that there are going to be a lot of people who are just needing this art history class to finish their endorsement. So that is a good thing. For what it's worth, again, because I'm proud of our specialists and the work that they do. It was brought to Liz Brown's attention that Alpine was looking at providing this resource in partnership with Western Governors, but they wanted to charge people outside of their district quite a bit of money for it. And so this will be minimal fee access to everybody across the state. There won't be any checking of zip code before we give you your bill. So,
what size of cohort did she stand? Are you going to cap the cohort?
Yeah, we're going to have to cap the first one probably at 40. So she won't be the instructor. The instructor actually is from Alpine, but she was willing to subcontract with News to teach the coursework. I think that's it.
Okay. Anything else? Meeting adjourned. How about that? Good? Yeah. Meeting adjourned. All right.
Gotcha.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Well, we'll see you guys in a few hours, huh?
Yeah.